How are y'all today? Wonderful. So I realized when the UK guys were in town, I try to not say y'all, or at least I think I do, and then I realize I say it all the time. I'm more redneck than I realize. So this morning I want to talk about evangelism, and there's some reasons for it because of some of the things that I've gotten to do over the last few weeks. But I want to preface this by saying I'm definitely not here this morning to present this topic of evangelism as some sort of professional. I'll probably even go as far as to say I'm not even good at it or great at it. And honestly, I don't do it as much as I should. So preparing this lesson this past week really spoke to me a lot and challenged me a lot, and I hope it does the same to you. So that's my preface. I'm no professional evangelist by any means, and I'm just like you, and I'm not good at it. And so I pray that as we look at some of these things, that it challenges you to begin to share your faith in your own lives. So over the last few weeks, I've had a chance to go on several different mission trips and be involved in different mission opportunities, I guess. A few weeks ago, I was able to join a group of 25 from our church to go to Honduras. We joined with 20 others from other churches, even one guy from like Maryland, I think, or Washington, D.C. Maybe that's the same place. But we were able to join with multiple different churches represented. And my role there was mainly to preach during the services during the day. So before they go into the clinics, they hear a gospel message and have a chance to respond. And then they get to go through the clinics and get eyeglasses and rice and beans, all those sorts of things. So that was my role. And I also got a chance to close out the week by preaching our night services. So every night we would have an opportunity to preach to the community and to the local church. And that night was pretty cool because there was like community leaders there and policemen and all this other kind of stuff that they do this big old hurrah about thank you for coming and helping us. So that's the night that I got to preach. I kind of preached on the same thing. A lot of these people that were there at the night services were church members. And so we challenged them that they can do the same thing we did, that they can come and bring the gospel message to their own people. That's what I got to do in Honduras. We were able to see 145 people accept Christ. Now, you've already heard all these numbers. But that was such a blessing for our team to be able to see that type of response. The next week, we partner with Chick-fil-A. We partner with Longview Heights. We were able to do Windshape Camp. There was it's pretty much a top-notch camp for children. They brought a team in, super high energy, and were able to share biblical truths with kids. About 135 kids all week long. I believe we saw like 12 children that accepted Christ, or at least that they indicated that they accepted Christ. And then 2 weeks ago, I was able to lead a group of 23 young adults and older youth to Chicago. And we worked alongside a partner church of ours that's kind of new for us, Resurrection City Church. The pastor's Dave Andreessen. We were able to put on a craft camp. We were where we taught the story of the Bible in 4 days. Four simple little stories. But most of these kids have never heard the Bible before. They've never heard about Jesus. And this is in our own country. And truth be told, there are people in our own area, probably in our own city, that don't know about who Jesus is. So that's why this topic of evangelism is so important. So we started with creation. We talked about sin and the fall. The third day, we talked about Jesus's redemption, or God's redemption plan in sending Jesus. And then the fourth day, we talked about heaven and the promises that God give us, you know, as we accept Christ and live for Him. And this week was pretty special. We were able to join basically all three of our mission efforts together. So the way that I see that we do missions is we do local missions here in the city with our church, and we partner with other churches. We do national missions, and right now our big one is Chicago that we're partnering with. And then international missions, which we're in Honduras, but we're also in the UK, a new church plant there as well called Cedars Church. And so we had some guys from the UK come over, and they were able to join us. So that week, we were able to join all of our mission efforts in 1 week. So it was pretty special. I didn't necessarily plan it that way, but apparently God did, and he worked in amazing ways. And while we were in Chicago, we were able to open some doors for Pastor Dave, for Resurrection City Church, to be involved in the community more. They don't just have an open door to a school, you know, like we do here, where we can just kind of go in and do whatever we want. They can't just kind of go sit up at a park and tell people about Jesus. The leaders of that park will run them out. So we were able to connect him with some local city leaders by some of the works that we did, and God truly worked. I tell you all these things for a couple of reasons. You probably knew a lot of it already because we've shared some of that as we went. But God is moving and working through our people, through people like you and through people like me. And just in these short 3 weeks that we've had, we had over 50 or 60 of our church members involved in some sort of outreach or missions. And we were able to see over 150 people's lives changed with the message of the gospel. And that's amazing that God is still working, God's still active, and he's still alive. And not only did we see those people make a decision, but we were also able to take their information and pass them on to a local church. So in Honduras, there's a local pastor that got every single name that made a decision, and as close to an address as we can get or a phone number so that he can follow up with them. For the WinShape team, we have cards that we're going to be able to give to the local churches of kids that have made decisions for Christ and give those to the children's pastors. And Resurrection City, at Resurrection City Church, same thing. You know, he now has new contacts for him to be able to reach out in the community. So God's moving and working in our people. And the second thing that I wanted to talk about, a reason I wanted to talk about evangelism today, is that I wanted to encourage you to join the effort, to get in there and to help us do the same thing right here in our own city. There's countless ways to share Christ, even today, when you leave the worship service and go have lunch. Also had other reasons to talk about evangelism today, and I've had the opportunity to teach some classes on it over the past couple of years. And one thing that I know from you, from talking to you, and I know from my own life, is that evangelism is probably the biggest fear that we have as a Christian. And maybe it's because we give it this big word that sounds like really churchy or seminary or something, you know, like evangelism just sounds like really hard to do, but in reality, we're going to talk about how easy it can be. It's something, so it's one of the biggest fears. It's something that we, as our own church, and the church in America is completely failing at. Churches are declining across our area, across the whole United States, and it's because we are not going out of those walls and telling people about the message that's preached here on Sunday morning, and the message that you read, hopefully, on a regular basis in your Bibles. Sometimes we're confused about what evangelism is and who is to be involved and how it should be done, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Lastly, if we ever want to reach our own city where we know that 75% of the population doesn't attend church even on Easter, then we need to engage in evangelism as a way of life. We need to build our lives around this idea of evangelism. So I'm convinced that we're easily deceived. We're distracted by our buildings, by our comforts, by our preferences, our preconceived notions about church, that we've forgotten the whole reason that God established First Baptist Church to begin with and established the church in general is to reach their own community with the gospel. And so that's why we're going to talk about the 6 W's of evangelism. And the guy that made the slides did a horrible job. They're hard to read. And I'm sorry about that. So that was me. So I want to start by defining what evangelism is. Often we have these words, these Christianese terms that we use, like evangelism and witnessing and fellowship is a big one that we use that we have no clue what it really means. All these words that we use that in the church that mean absolutely nothing to people that don't have any kind of background in church. And so what is evangelism? Webster Dictionary defines it as the winning or revival of personal commitments to Christ. And that's pretty simple, but I would like to simplify it even more to say that evangelism is basically telling others the message of Jesus. And that's what we're all called to do each and every day of our lives, to tell people the message of Jesus. It's not hard, but at the same time, it's not easy. It's not a hard message to learn and to get and to tell, but to actually go about doing it obviously isn't easy, or we wouldn't have to preach on how hard it is and to encourage you to do it. So it's not hard, but it isn't easy. The message this morning is based out of Acts 1, verses 6 through 9. If you want to go ahead and turn there on your Bible, in your app, whatever, Acts 1, verses 6 through 9. We're going to be jumping around to several different scripture references as we go along. So you don't have to turn to all of them. I think I put all of them on the screen. But I tell you that just to tell you that I tend to include a lot of passages in the messages and the lessons that I teach, just so you understand that these ideas aren't coming from my little brain. They're coming from the Bible, so that it's all backed up by Scripture. So hopefully they'll all be on the screen for you today. But we're going to start by reading Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight." So the first W that we're going to talk about today is who. And I have on there by whom and to whom, and I'm not good enough at English to know if that's even used right, but it's who or whom, whatever you want to write down. Who is supposed to share, and to whom are we supposed to share? We just read Acts 1:8. It's probably one of the greatest mission verses in the Bible. It says, "And you shall be my witnesses." Some verses say, some versions say, "You will be my witnesses." So who's supposed to share? It's you and it's me and it's every believer that follows Jesus Christ. In the story of the Bible, where this fits in the story of the Bible, this verse or this passage, it's right after Jesus' resurrection. It's the very last time that Jesus speaks before he ascends to heaven. So this is a direct commission from Jesus himself after he was resurrected to a crowd of his followers. And so these were also his last words that were ever recorded in the Bible. And so they hold so much importance here. Jesus commands us to be his witnesses. So now that we know who is supposed to share, that we're all supposed to share, let's look at to whom are we supposed to share. Another great missions verse is the Great Commission. It can be found at the end of the book of Matthew. And it says, Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember I am with you always to the end of the age." So we are to share the message with everyone we come across. That's the easy answer. Who's supposed to share? We're supposed to share. And to whom? To everybody that we come across. Every age group, old and young. Every culture, every language, every ethnic group, every race, everybody that you see on a daily basis is who you're commanded to tell about Jesus. There's a song that we sing to our kids from time to time: "Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight." I won't sing it because I can't sing. But the idea is we're teaching our kids, even at a young age, to tell every single person they see about Jesus. I hope you get the message that we're to share with everyone. It doesn't matter if you like the person or they like you. It doesn't matter if you agree with their worldviews. It doesn't matter if you like the life choices they make. It doesn't matter if you don't like what they look like. Maybe they're all tatted up and, it just makes you uncomfortable. Maybe, it's like you're like a youth and it's like a, really old aged, I don't know how to say that the nice way. Maybe it's an old person and you're like, this is, I can't tell anything to them. Well, the truth is, you're commanded to love on those people, and vice versa. Our senior adults can go to our youth and to our kids and teach them so much. So we're commanded to share. Doesn't matter if you agree with their worldview. The gospel message is for everyone, and we're commanded to share. Also, remember that there is no one so far gone who is beyond the power of God to reach them and change their lives. There's plenty of times that I've even thought myself, they're a lost cause. God's not going to change their lives. The truth is that God can change anybody. In fact, Isaiah 59:1, it says, "Indeed, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, and his ear is not too deaf to hear." The idea is that nobody is beyond the reach of the message of the gospel. And that's why he made each and every one of you different and given you each and every one of you opportunities to share with different people. Included in those people that need to hear and that you need to share with are your kids, parents. Your priority and your responsibility is to teach your own little children each and every day in your homes. And if you're not doing so, then uh, we you know, you can start today. It's never too late. And it's amazing how much they can absorb at such a young age. Being involved in missions, and Megan's, you know, has a heart for missions, and she was involved in missions before I ever was. So we've taught our children about missions, and my daughter Lila, she's 7 now. She always told us she wants to be a missionary, and so I try to tell her what that really is. It's not just traveling the world, but it's like a lot of hard work, and like you don't get to eat the food that you like, and you get sick, and all these kinds of things. And she's sticking to it right now that she wants to be a missionary. But the cool thing is that we, you know, go when she was starting kindergarten, we told her, you know, she's heard the message of the gospel all the way up until she was starting kindergarten at five years old. And you can teach your kids to tell people about Jesus even at that age. As she was starting kindergarten, we used that summer to make sure that she knew how to tell people that God loved her or that God loves them and how to be a missionary. And we explained to her that her school is her mission field. And it's the message that we have today. Wherever you are and wherever you go, that's your mission field. And I can't tell you the excitement that I hear every once in a while when she says, you know, I told somebody about Jesus. I invited somebody to church. So even someone that young can be involved in evangelism. And don't count out the young ones because the Lord can use them in a mighty way. Also, people in your everyday lives need to hear. Maybe it's your coworkers, your neighbors, the people that you're in class with, the people that you eat lunch with. Maybe it's your own family members. There are even some sitting in the pews next to you that need to be reached with the message of the gospel and need to respond to that message today. So we know who, the first W. We looked at the first W, who. All believers are to share with everyone. And now the second W is why. Why is evangelism a vital part of the church, and why should it be a vital part of your life? The message of the gospel has eternal consequences. They're both good and they're bad. You know, if you accept Jesus, you're promised an eternity in heaven. If you reject that message, you're promised an eternity in hell, separated from the Creator God. Romans 3:23 reminds us that every single one of us are sinners. And then Romans 6:23 tells us that because of that sin, we deserve death and eternal hell. But God offers each and every one of us a free gift of eternal life in heaven if we believe and we commit our lives to Christ. So our message of salvation is literally a matter of death, eternal life in heaven, literally a matter of life and death, eternal life in heaven, or eternal death and separation from God in hell. Romans 10:14 says, but how can they call on him who have not believed? And how can they believe without hearing him? Also, how can they hear him without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. You and I are the believers in the room today that are the preachers that's mentioned right here in Romans 10. Maybe you're not on stage and have a microphone, and maybe you're not the best speaker in the world. That's not what they're calling a preacher here. They're calling a preacher somebody that has the message of Jesus and is sharing that with people around them. So that's who you are today. So again, why do we tell others? Well, a couple of reasons that I've listed here is, well, first of all, we're commanded by Jesus to do so. Just like we just sung about, just like we saw in Acts 1:8 and Matthew 28. We're commanded by Jesus to do so. Jesus never told his followers, you know, just wait until you're comfortable, or, you know, wait till you can muster up enough courage to tell somebody. Jesus said to tell people. He said to go and make disciples, and he also said, you will be my witnesses. So we're commanded to do so, so that's why we share. But also, we share because God's love for us should compel us to share the hope that we have with a lost and dying world. So not only are we commanded to, but because of God's love and the mercy and the grace that he shows us, we should be sharing with others. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. It says, for Christ's love compels us. Since we have reached this conclusion, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So because we've experienced Christ's love and grace, we're compelled to love others. When you love someone, you're willing to go out of your way for them. You're willing to be uncomfortable, and it's all for their well-being. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. Sharing Christ is never going to be the easiest thing you do. It's probably not going to be the most comfortable thing you do. You're going to have to figure out how to work it into conversations. But the truth is that you're called to do it. And if you love someone enough, like Christ loves us, then you'll take the uncomfortableness and share with them. One illustration that, I don't know if this makes sense, it may make sense to people that have kids with diapers, but I thought of this as I was writing, and think of dirty diapers. I haven't been changing dirty diapers for like 7 years now, just because I like to change dirty diapers. I change dirty diapers because, well, it's good for the kids. Plus, it also makes them a little more presentable when they're like with other people, so they don't smell so bad. And so I thought of that as I was thinking of the gospel. Sharing the gospel can be looked at the same way. Jesus never said that you're going to love doing it. He never said that you wouldn't get messy. He never said you wouldn't get dirty. He never even said you'd be great at it. You know, the first few times I changed a diaper, I think I put it on backwards. So you're going to mess up as you do it. But he did tell you to do it. Since he cleaned you up and cleaned your life up, you're commissioned to help others do the same. And as Jesus changes their lives, they can go and do the same. They can be, their lives can be changed. The sin and the brokenness in their life can be taken away and replaced with hope and joy. And so that's why we're to share. One quote that I read early last week from a friend, and he was passing this on from a pastor in Chattanooga. Anyway, it says, "The gospel came to you because it was heading to someone else. God never intended for your salvation to be an end, but a beginning. God saved you to be a conduit through whom his glorious life-changing gospel would flow to others. You are a link in the chain of 2 Timothy 2:2, which says, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So your salvation is not an end. The world doesn't revolve around you being saved and then it's over. In fact, the gospel message is supposed to be shared from one person to the next, and that's how Jesus and God set that up. So when we're out in the world, when we're outside of the walls of this building, we're still to be the church. We're still commanded to tell the people the message of Jesus. We may be loving people who don't love us back, and that happens a lot. We may be insulted. We may be looked down on. People may think we're weird or we're crazy. But our love should be so much more, so much that none of that matters. We should want to see others' lives change through the power of Jesus, because God first loved us, and so we pass that love on to others. So we come to the third W. The first W is who, that we are all to share with everyone. The second W is why, because God commanded us to, and because Jesus loves us. And the third W is what. So what is the message that we're supposed to share as we go out and share the message of the gospel? If you've hesitated to be involved in evangelism because you're afraid that you won't get the message right, well then I have a little gospel nutshell for you, and you can write it down if you'd like with some verse references. The first, it's in five different parts. The first part is that God's holy and pure. Isaiah 6:3 says, "And one called to another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth.'" And the truth is that we cannot appreciate the forgiveness of sin, redemption that God gives us, the grace that God gives us, until we understand that God is completely, utterly, and totally holy. He's pure. There's no shadow or hint of impurity at all. So the first part is that God is holy and pure. Second part is that we've sinned, and because of that sin, it's separated us from God. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So because God is so holy, he cannot be around sin. And as a result of our sin, we are separated from any intimacy with God, our Creator. So God's holy, we've sinned, and we can't save ourselves. That's number three. We can't save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. It says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift. It's God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast." So we can never do enough to earn our salvation. Sin is way too powerful for us to ever overcome on our own. And I know this because people have tried for thousands of years now. And I can tell you that you're not going to be the one that will beat sin without Jesus's help without Jesus' grace. So we can't save ourselves. And then number four, God loves us and he wants a relationship with us. In fact, he sent his own son Jesus to pay our penalty, to offer us forgiveness, to take on our sin, and to replace it with his righteousness. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And then Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves his own love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." So the truth is that our sin must be paid for. This is a system that was set up from the very beginning of time. We see Adam and Eve, after they sinned, we see that God set up a system where the innocent had to die on behalf of the guilty. And that's what we see in the very beginning of creation in Genesis 3. And this is the same thing that is in place now, because God is forever. God is never changing. And so our sin must be paid for, and that's why Jesus came. We, as unholy sinners, we can never satisfy God's requirement for holiness. So because he's so holy, because he's so pure, because he's so perfect, we cannot be in his presence. But because of Jesus' holiness and his righteousness, he exchanged that for our sin on the cross. So Jesus fulfilled God's system of sacrifice set up from the beginning and exchanged his righteousness for our sin. Then number five is receiving Jesus by faith satisfies God's holiness requirement. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved." And then Romans 10:13 goes on to say, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." So receiving Jesus is a matter of ABC, is the way that it's easiest understood. Admit that we have sinned, that we need forgiveness. Believe in the message of Jesus, that he came and lived a holy life, and he died as a substitute to pay for our penalty. And C, commit to live for Jesus and make him the boss, the Lord, the Savior of our lives. So there's five things there. What is our message? It's that God is holy and pure, that we've sinned, that we can't save ourselves, but God still loves us and he wants a relationship with us, so he sent Jesus. And then lastly, receiving Jesus' message and believing it satisfies God's holiness requirement, and God promises an eternity with God in heaven. So that is our message. That's the what. So we looked at who is supposed to share. All of us are supposed to share with everyone. We looked at why do we share. Well, first of all, Jesus commanded us. Second of all, because God's love for us and his grace and his mercy. We looked at what to share, and I gave you a quick five little outline of the gospel. And the fourth W is when. When do we share? The easy answer, of course, is now, today, every chance you get, as soon as you walk out those doors. Again, back to the Great Commission, it says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." A more accurate translation from the original Greek, and you've probably heard this before, but it's could really say, "As you go, make disciples of all nations." The focus is on being an ambassador, to be a messenger, to be an evangelist each and every day of our lives and everywhere we go. This means that we shouldn't just wait to tell others about the gospel message and about Jesus, you know, only on a special occasions. And this is something I've been guilty of a lot ever since I was saved, and many of us are as well, that oftentimes we wait until we're on a mission trip, until there's some other sort of Christian event where, you know, we've set aside the time and we've been trained during that event, and then we go out and tell people. Those are all great things, and it gives us the opportunity to share. But the truth is, we don't need to wait until those trips, until those events. I've been guilty of this, and we've got to break ourselves of that habit. We should be witnesses every day, and it needs to become a lifestyle. One of the things I thought of is that if we truly follow Jesus' commands for our lives, then we will revolve our life around telling the gospel message. We will build our life, our schedule, around being able to have the opportunities to tell people the gospel message. There's things that you can go and do on a daily basis to be a light in a dark community. One thing that I borrowed from a friend when I was in seminary that he would do is stop at the same grocery store every single day on his way into work or to school, and he would strike up a relationship with the person that worked there and get a chance to share the gospel. That's something that I did at several different places. I even tried to do it at Charlie's Donuts when they first opened. And I realized not long after I finally got to know the owner that he was actually a pastor. So I didn't have to share the gospel with him, but that was cool. And he was actually an encouragement to me while he was still at the store. I think he's moved back to Chicago now or Indiana or something. But so there's things that we can do each and every day to build our schedules around giving ourselves opportunities to share the gospel. So if we're true followers of Jesus, that's the kind of life that we'll live. Oftentimes, we merely try to fit in a week of sharing the gospel in our busy lives, in our busy schedules. I want you to think of ways right now that you can share the message of Jesus in your daily lives. Maybe it's at work, or maybe it's in class. Maybe it's when you're out with your friends. Maybe it's even in your own homes with your children, with your spouse, with kids and grandkids. I want you to think of ways how you can build that kind of life around sharing the gospel and it be a part of your daily life. So we looked at who, that we all share with everybody. We looked at why, because God loves us, because God commands us to. We looked at what we share and gave you a gospel presentation. We looked at when we share, and that should be each and every day of our lives as we are going throughout life to make disciples of all nations. And then the fifth W is where. Where should we share? Again, the easy answer is everywhere, but for most of us, the answer is going to be right here in the city of Olive Branch, or DeSoto County, or the greater Memphis area. This is our Jerusalem. Acts 1:8 tells us where we should be witnesses. Our church and other churches and Christians in the area, we are the missionaries. We are the evangelists. We are the preachers for our mission field right here in Olive Branch. It's no coincidence that God's placed you here where you are today. He intends for us to be his witnesses, his ambassadors, his missionaries, first of all, where we live. And I thought about preparing when missionaries prepare for the mission field. Advantages that we have here, sharing in your own city, is that we already know the language. Some of us are a little more redneck than others, but we can pretty much communicate with most people. We know the language, we know the culture, we know what the people are like, we know what holidays and celebrations are celebrated, and we know people in the community. We know where the lost people are living. We know where the broken people are living. We know where there's other Christians that can help us go out and share with others. So these are things that missionaries have to do just to enter a mission field. So they have to learn the language, and sometimes it takes 6 months to a year or longer, depending on the language. They start to know the culture. They figure out how the people dress. How can I, be acceptable in the culture? They figure out, who to shake hands with and who not to shake hands with. Andrew learned that in Chicago. They learn whether you can look people in the eyes or not look people in the eyes. They learn all these things about the culture just so they can go about living a normal life among the people. And then lastly, they finally start to meet the people. They find the people of peace that will help them find the lost. They find where the community is of the really broken, the sick, the poor. And these are all things that they have to learn. And it could take a couple of years just to be able to be effective with the gospel. And so if you think about that, we are way ahead of foreign missionaries. We know everything about this city. We know the people. We know the culture. We know the language. So we ought to be sharing now. So these are the first things missionaries learn. And the process can take years. We can no longer claim that our city of Olive Branch is a Christian city. Pastor Kerr has done some of his own research and found that at least 75% of our population isn't in church on Easter. So there's lost neighbors and there's friends. There's probably people you talk to on a regular basis that are headed down a path of destruction and hell and separation from God. So my question today is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to love on those people because Jesus first loved you? You're just going to walk right past them and not care about them. There are children in your home that need to hear about Jesus. Maybe you aren't sharing with your own children. Maybe they're, you're bringing them to church and allowing, some volunteers or pastors to speak into their lives, and they never hear it from your own mouth where it means the most. Maybe there's relatives that you've cooked out with this summer that don't know about the message of Jesus, that haven't responded to the gospel message and are following Christ. Those are the people that you can reach. There are even people sitting next to you today that need to hear the message and respond to Jesus. We'd be crazy to think that a church this size doesn't have somebody that's lost sitting here today. Think of the early churches in Acts. When they were started, if the people just kept the message of Jesus to themselves, what if they just kept the message of Jesus in the walls, wherever they were meeting? What if they complained, about the color of the carpet, or, it was too hot, or seats weren't comfortable enough? What if these were all the things that they were caught up in? I don't think the message of Jesus Christ would ever reach the city of Olive Branch today. And so we're supposed to model Jesus, our church is supposed to model after the early church in Acts, and to go out and be a church here, but to be a church outside of our walls and to share Jesus. I've heard it stated before that we are plan A and there is no plan B, and that God has established the church. He's established this church a long time ago to reach the city of Olive Branch. And we must do that. We don't just proclaim the message here, though. Jesus tells us to reach out to other cities and reach out around the world. Acts 1:8 again says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And one of my favorite verses about missions is Psalm 96:3. "Declare his glory among the nations, his wonderful works among all peoples." So yes, we're commanded to reach Olive Branch in DeSoto County and our area, but we're also commanded to reach around the world in our own country to neighboring cities. And that's why we take these mission trips that we take, and that's why we go and help these church plants that are trying to reach a people group the size of Olive Branch with one church. That's why we have prayer partners on the mission field, like the Tuminello family. That's why we have partnered with Resurrection City Church in Chicago and Cedars Church in Stowe Market in the UK. And that's why we've been to Honduras for 14 years in a row now. So not only are we commanded to share here, we're commanded to share everywhere. One thing that's really impacted me when I think about sharing here in our own city is a few years ago, Tommy Taylor, our Honduras team leader, challenged every person on the team with a thought, and it's stuck with me ever since. He called it 51 plus 1. So in case you don't know, there are 52 weeks in a year, and he challenged us to take a note, to take 1 week out of the year and to share the gospel in Honduras. That's our one, but to not forget the other 51 weeks of the year. That's where we're here in Olive Branch in our everyday lives. And he called it 51 plus 1. It's something that has stuck in my head ever since. We cannot forget the other 51 weeks at home. We must proclaim the message to each and every day in the place that God has placed us. So, we looked at who, that we're all to share with everyone. Looked at why, because God loves us, because God commands us to. We looked at what we share. We looked at when we're to share and where we are to share. And you'll have to bear with me. I have a predicament. When I was planning the message, I had to choose between two things. It was like a really catchy title, or I could like alliterate every single point like a good Baptist preacher. Well, I chose the title instead. So my 6W is how. It doesn't start with a W, but there's a W there, so I didn't lie. So that's my 6W. How are we supposed to share? I really couldn't. If anybody has a better word, you can let me know later. But how are we supposed to share? There's a ton of evangelism training programs out there that we've used over the years, especially in Baptist churches. We can use gospel tracts. I've even taught the three circles that the North American Mission Board uses, and those are all great tools. They're great for preparing people to share the gospel. But how do you go about sharing the gospel in a real way in your everyday life? And there's a couple of ways that every single believer can be engaged in evangelism. And the first is to be an eyewitness. Again, back in Acts 1:8, it says, "You will be my witnesses." This is one of these Christianese phrases that we use, which sometimes is hard to understand. In reality, it's abbreviated from eyewitnessing. In our judicial system, the best testimony is an eyewitness, not secondhand information or hearsay stuff. Our testimony as an eyewitness is the most powerful testimony and evidence that we can use in court, and it's also the most powerful testimony and evidence that can be used as we share the gospel. You simply tell your story. If I had you turn to your neighbor and talk about your work or your school, you could probably easily spend 5 minutes or more, you know, talking about the things that you do daily. Maybe it's your favorite sports team, or you know, what a kind of car that you are working on in your garage. You don't need a 12-week course to help you know how to tell someone about those things. No, it's because it's simple. It's something that you live your daily life around. You're simply telling the story of a part of your life. We're to be witnesses, not experts on theology, just an eyewitness of what Jesus has done in our lives. It's true that the training can help, and the training is great, and that's why we're here as a church, also is to help with training. Gospel tracts, a marked-up Bible can help us, but these are all just tools to help guide the discussion. They aren't required in telling your story. Our job isn't to argue people into heaven. You and I simply need to point people to Jesus and plant seeds of biblical truth. One of the disciples, Andrew, brought Peter to Jesus. He later brought the boy with a small meal to feed 5,000. In fact, every time we see Andrew in the Bible, just about, he is bringing someone or something to Jesus. So be an Andrew today. Bring people to Jesus. Allow him to change their hearts. So as we close, we have six W's of evangelism. We looked at who we should be sharing, that we should all be sharing with everyone. We looked at why we should share, because God loves us, because he's commanded us to. We looked at what we should share in the gospel message. We looked at when we share, and that's at all times to revolve our lives around sharing the gospel. We looked at where we are to share, to start here in Olive Branch, and if you have a chance, join us to go around the world and across the country. And lastly, we looked at how we're to share the gospel, to be an eyewitness of God's work in your own life. Allow that to overflow into other people's lives. So as we close, we're going to have a time of invitation. I want to challenge you in two ways. Maybe you're here today and you've heard about Jesus and you've heard what he's done for you. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel message. Maybe you've never heard about the message of Jesus, that he loves you and that he wants you to have a right relationship with God. The creator of the world loves you and has given you an opportunity to have a right relationship with him. If you feel God calling you today, this is a time that you can come and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, as the boss of your life. Secondly, maybe you're here and you're a believer and you need to commit to share Christ with someone. Again, this is a command from Jesus for every believer to be active in bringing others the message of Jesus. Maybe you've never witnessed to someone, or maybe you haven't in a long time. This is a chance for you to commit your life to choose one person at a time and witness to them, even if it's just one person at a time. Maybe it's a coworker and a friend, and we've talked about that. God has you here on this earth and has you here in Olive Branch to glorify him and to bring others to a saving grace of Jesus. If you want to commit to be that witness today, this is the time to do so. So the altar will be open. Any decisions that need to be made, our pastors will be down front. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll have a time of response. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the opportunity to serve here and for this city that allows us so many open doors to love on people and to share the gospel with them. Father, I pray that if you spoke to someone today that needs to respond to the message of the gospel, Lord, that you would touch their hearts right now and give them an opportunity to respond. And Father, maybe there's others in the room that just need to commit their lives to share the message with others. Maybe we haven't done it in a long time, and maybe we're the one of those that waits until there's an opportunity like a mission trip to do it all, and we forget the other 51 weeks of the year. Father, give us an opportunity to commit to be a true follower of Jesus, to be an evangelist, to be a preacher, to be an ambassador for you in our own city today. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for those that are here. I thank you for giving us your word to learn from. And I pray, Lord, that you would use it to change our lives today. It's in Jesus' name I pray.